I'm Joe Catalano with an AM Quincy news update for Friday, March 5th. There were 26 new cases of coronavirus confirmed in Quincy yesterday, the active case total now at 204. Quincy's positivity rate is down to 2.61%, and the city is in the yellow category on the state's risk assessment map. There have been 146 deaths. Two men were being treated for serious injuries after a rollover crash in Quincy last night. Police say a vehicle rolled over on Water Street near Phipps Street at about 11:30 last night and damaged some other parked cars. The driver was taken to Boston Medical Center in critical condition, and the passenger was being treated for non-life-threatening injuries at South Shore Hospital. Water Street was closed until about 3:30 this morning as accident reconstruction teams investigated. The names of the victims have not yet been released, but police say they were not from the area. Quincy Fire Chief Joe Jackson says Tuesday's house fire at 85 Safford Street was likely an accident. Jackson says a stove left on in the first floor kitchen of that two-family home in Wollaston ignited some materials near the stove, sparking the blaze. Jackson also says the home was an extreme hoarding situation, adding fuel to the fire along with the high winds. Two people escaped safely and no one was hurt. However, Jackson says the home is likely a total loss. Quincy City Council President Nina Liang says she is disappointed that Mayor Thomas Koch won't establish a new Department of Social Justice and Equity. However, she remains optimistic that there will be some changes with the current city staff. Koch recently said he didn't see a need for the new department that was approved by the City Council. Ward 4 Councilor Brian Palmucci had proposed that department after a series of listening sessions where residents spoke about their experiences with racism and bigotry. Koch said he is open to making changes using his existing staff and perhaps making some new hires. Three Asian-owned Quincy businesses are being spotlighted in a new video series about how the pandemic has impacted Asian immigrant entrepreneurs. The Metropolitan Area Planning Council is telling the stories of Sunshine Travel, Lion Dance Studio, and hairstylist Jimmy May, called Quincy from a Distance. The videos focus on Quincy because Quincy and Milton have the highest proportion of Asian and Pacific Islander immigrant entrepreneurs per capita in the region. Storytellers say incidents of hate crimes against Asian immigrants have ballooned across the country since the onset of the coronavirus crisis. The videos are designed to prompt constructive dialogue to counter fear, according to the council. The video was debuted earlier this week, and a virtual community discussion about the videos will be held on March 17th. Quincy Asian Resources will be part of that discussion. The Friends of Faxon Park have scheduled a spring cleanup. At a virtual meeting last night, the Friends said the cleanup will be held on March 27th from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. Participants are advised to meet at the pavilion and wear a mask. Cleanup supplies will be provided. You can email friendsoffaxonpark@gmail.com for more information. The rain date is set for April 10th. School leaders in Hingham are getting creative to find more ways to offer in-person learning. The district has rented out a vacant Catholic school in Weymouth to be used as a satellite campus for their elementary students. Principal Dr. Elizabeth Wilcox said that they are certainly thinking, trying to think outside of the box and trying to look at all sorts of options. They call the new school Foster North. Wilcox said that taking over the building that once housed St. Jerome's was the perfect solution to their struggles to meet the CDC's social distancing guidelines. Kindergartners have been at the Foster School full-time since January. First and second graders, still in the hybrid model, have been at the rented North Campus building since February. Wilcox said their plan is to have all K through 5 students in the two buildings for in-person learning 5 days a week by mid-March. Here in Quincy, first, second, and third graders and 12th graders have the option now of full-time in-person learning if they were in the hybrid learning model. Fourth and fifth graders in the hybrid model can return full-time on March 22nd. State Education Commissioner Jeffrey Riley will formally ask the Board of Elementary and Secondary Education today to give him the authority to start the process of ending remote and hybrid learning. Riley first announced his intentions during a Department of Education meeting last week. The board will meet again this afternoon at its headquarters in Malden. He wants the board to give him the authority to determine when hybrid and remote models will no longer count towards meeting the required student learning time hours. If the panel approves, Riley said, the Department of Elementary and Secondary Education will then ask for public comment. Riley said last week parents would have the option for their children to learn remotely through the end of the school year. About 20% of school districts are still fully remote, impacting about 400,000 students in Massachusetts. Riley wants a phased-in approach to get children back into the classroom, starting with elementary school students in April. That would then extend to middle school grades next, and then those in high school. The Mass Teachers Association opposed the move last week, saying the state should instead be focused on getting educators prioritized in its vaccination plan. That changed on Wednesday when Governor Baker announced they will be eligible for vaccines starting March 11th. Teachers are also eligible to get vaccinated at CVS pharmacies in Massachusetts, now under the Federal Retail Pharmacy Program. The number of communities in Massachusetts considered high risk for coronavirus infections have decreased for the seventh week in a row. As of yesterday, the number of towns in the high-risk red category is 19, down from 28 last week. State health officials categorize cities and towns as red, green, yellow, or gray based on the daily rate of COVID-19 cases. As of yesterday, the following communities are still considered high-risk: Blackstone, Chicopee, Clinton, Fall River, Freetown, Hadley, Haverhill, Lawrence, Ludlow, Lynn, Methuen, New Bedford, Peabody, Plainville, Springfield, Sterling, Sutton, West Bridgewater, and locally, Weymouth. The Massachusetts Department of Public Health reported 1,410 new confirmed cases and 42 additional deaths in the state yesterday. From lawnmowers to refrigerators, there are supply chain problems at companies all around the world. George Washington Toma TV and Appliance in Weymouth has been around for years, but has never gone through a period like they're experiencing now during the pandemic. COVID has slammed the brakes on everything from steel and aluminum production to electronic control boards. Alan Stern of GW Toma says they're seeing large back orders on things like dishwashers and refrigerators. One of the world's biggest manufacturers of compressors for refrigerators is in Brazil, and production has been drastically curtailed. Even factories in Massachusetts have been slowed by COVID. From refrigerators to cars and trucks, COVID has forced a slowdown. Even power equipment companies are struggling. At Morrison's Power Equipment in Plymouth, getting new lawnmowers or leaf blowers is no longer a matter of placing an order, and it's given rise to a jump in repairs. Well, the mics are hot again at the Southside Tavern in Braintree, and restaurant owners and customers say they're excited. KJ and the Foot took to the stage there for the first time since the fall after Governor Baker relaxed restrictions on Monday and allowed musicians to belt out hits before a live audience again. The duo brought in a packed house. Restaurant manager Ian Newbecker said bands helped the bottom line. The city of Boston has decided to hold off on live music events for the time being, but the sounds of normalcy are in the air. A 55-year-old will be summoned to court after police say he hit a hydrant and flooded out a neighborhood in Hingham on Wednesday. The driver, who never had a license to drive, received minor injuries after he drove off the road and struck a hydrant on Route 53 on Whiting Street. A portion of the road then became flooded. There were no injuries. A state trooper has been found not guilty on charges stemming from a 2018 altercation outside of a Dorchester bar. Matthew Hickey was found not guilty of assault and battery with a dangerous weapon causing serious bodily injury and assault and battery on Monday in Suffolk County Superior Court. Hickey was accused of choking a woman outside Dorset Hall and kicking her so hard that he broke a bone. The victim told police that Hickey and his girlfriend followed her and a friend outside and down the street after an argument over a spilled drink. According to court documents, prosecutors said that Hickey called 911 as the group left the bar to report that one of the women threw a drink at his girlfriend. Dave Procopio, state police spokesperson, said Hickey remained suspended from the state police and an internal investigation is ongoing. The Massachusetts State Police announcing yesterday they have begun training for its new body-worn camera system. Logan Airport-based Troop F is the first group of officers that are being trained with the cameras, which will record any interaction between troopers and the public in an effort to hold both suspects and troopers accountable. Troop F, which has about 150 department members in total, is mainly responsible for providing security for all Port Authority facilities and properties. They were selected first because it operates out of a single barracks location. The other five geographic troops, the Special Operations Troop, and others will begin training over the next couple of months. Motorola is the vendor for the system, which uses the company's WatchGuard V300 camera. Motorola officials are also offering training. Well, the mass vaccination site at Fenway Park will begin to transfer operations to the Heinz Convention Center later this month, ahead of Red Sox opening day. Governor Baker said the transition from one site to another will be gradual. The vaccination site at the Heinz will begin operation on March 18th. Fenway will stop administering vaccinations on March 27th. As of March 22nd, the state's expected to allow sporting venues to have 12% capacity in the stands, which translates to about 4,500 fans for Fenway opening day on April 1st. The clinic at Fenway has administered more than 25,000 vaccine doses so far. Baker said Fenway is expected to have delivered more than 55,000 before completing the move to the Heinz. CIC Health will operate both sites. Baker said they'll provide information to patients if they need to obtain their second shot at a different location. Massachusetts currently has 7 mass vaccination sites at a total of 170 clinics across the state. Most are operated by organizations such as pharmacies, hospitals, or community health centers. Across all sites, the state's COVID-19 Command Center expects 250,000 total doses to be administered this week. Yesterday, state officials reported that newly available appointments for shots at the state's mass vaccination sites were fully booked within just a few hours. Governor Baker traveled to Florida last night to join his wife, First Lady Lauren Baker, after a death in the family. The governor's office did not disclose details of the death. Lauren Baker's parents had lived in Florida as recently as 2018. The governor and his family have visited there on several occasions during his time in office. The governor and his wife plan to return to Massachusetts Monday after attending to family affairs. Massachusetts travel restrictions during the ongoing pandemic require anyone entering the state, including returning residents, quarantine for 10 days or produce a negative COVID-19 test result that has been administered within 72 hours of their arrival. A spokesperson said that the governor and his wife will both follow all Massachusetts travel protocols. Now, there will be some summer fun at the Boston Children's Museum this year. The museum has announced the launch of Explore It Summer Camp. a new camp that will provide week-long in-person experiences for young kids over the summer. Through the camp, children ages 5 through 7 will engage in hands-on STEAM activities, including making mud sculptures, making their own keychains, and cycling through a human car. Kids will also be able to play games outside and visit the park next to the museum. Weekly sessions will be made available throughout the month of July, and the camp will run from 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. The first session will begin on July 5th. COVID-19 safety protocols will be in place for campers and staff. When the coronavirus pandemic prompted stay-at-home orders last March and kept people inside, there were plenty of jokes about how a surge in pregnancies was sure to follow. But, as CBS News reported this week, the COVID baby boom is looking more like a baby bust. Provisional birth count data from 29 state health departments show about a 7.3% decline in births nationwide in December 2020, 9 months after the World Health Organization officially declared a pandemic. The decline was even steeper in Massachusetts, with data obtained by CBS News showing a 9.5% decline in December births compared to the previous year. In total, there were 4,948 December births reported in Massachusetts, compared to 5,468 in December of 2019. For the entire year of 2020, states reported on average about a 4.5% decline in births compared to 2019. Every state reported fewer births except New Hampshire, which saw just 4 more births in 2020 compared to the prior year. New Hampshire did see an almost 8.5% drop in December births for 2020. Now, Pope Francis headed to Iraq today to urge that country's dwindling number of Christians to stay put and help rebuild the country after years of war and persecution. Brushing aside the coronavirus pandemic and security concerns to make his first ever papal visit, Iraqis were keen to welcome him and the global attention that his visit will bring, with banners and posters hanging high in central Baghdad and billboards depicting Francis with the slogan, "We are all brothers," decorating the main thoroughfare. In central Tahrir Square, a mock tree was erected, emblazoned with the Vatican emblem, while Iraqi and Vatican flags lined the empty streets. Top aides to Governor Andrew Cuomo altered a state health department report to obscure the true number of people killed by COVID-19 in the state's nursing homes, according to the Wall Street Journal and New York Times. The aides, including the secretary to the governor, Melissa DeRosa, pushed state health officials to edit the July report so only residents who died inside long-term care facilities, not those who became ill there and later died at a hospital, were counted, citing documents and people with knowledge of the administration's internal discussions. America's employers likely stepped up their hiring in February as confirmed viral cases decline, consumers spent big chunks of their government aid checks, and the economy appeared to be sustaining a tentative recovery. Economists have forecast that job growth reached 175,000 last month. That would mark a sharp improvement over an average of just 29,000 jobs a month from November through January. The Senate beginning debate on a $1.9 trillion COVID-19 relief bill after Democrats made an 11th-hour change aimed at ensuring that they could pull President Biden's top legislative priority through the precariously divided chamber. Democrats were hoping for Senate approval of the package before next week, in time for the House to sign off and get the measure to Biden quickly. After the Senate voted by the slimmest of margins to begin the debate, Democrats were encountering opposition from Republicans, arguing that the measure's massive price tag ignored promising signs that the pandemic and wounded economy were turning around. Worried about continuing threats, the acting chief of the U.S. Capitol Police appealed to congressional leaders yesterday to use their influence to keep National Guard troops at the Capitol 2 months after the law enforcement breakdowns of the deadly January 6th insurrection. Yogananda Pittman told the leaders in a letter obtained by the AP that the board that oversees her department has so far declined to extend the emergency declaration required by the Pentagon to keep guardsmen who have assisted Capitol officers since the riot. Federal Reserve Chair Jerome Powell suggesting that inflation will pick up in the coming months, but that it would likely prove temporary and not enough for the Fed to alter its record low interest rate policies. His message of wait and see patience caused bond yields to jump and stocks to fall further, signaling that investors foresee stronger growth and higher inflation on the horizon. Distance running, traditionally one of the world's most genteel sports, has been roiled by an ugly mid-pandemic squabble over who should get a shot at a coveted Boston Marathon medal. Rival camps in the running world began snapping at each other's heels this week. It began after the Boston Athletic Association, which still hopes to hold a truncated in-person edition of the planet's most prestigious foot race in October, said it will award medals to up to 70,000 athletes if they go the distance wherever they are. Practically within minutes of the BAA's announcement, greatly expanding its virtual version of the race, a boisterous social media maelstrom ensued. On one side, runners who spent years training to qualify to run the real thing, including some who complained that mailing medals to people who run the 26.2 miles in Dallas or Denver will cheapen the iconic Boston experience. On the other side, pretty much everyone else, including the plodding masses and runners who raise millions for charity, who countered that anything that helps the 125-year-old marathon survive the COVID-19 crisis is worthwhile. Check of business news this morning. Stocks pulled back yesterday. The Dow sank 345. The NASDAQ dropped 274. And the S&P fell 51. Asian stocks also slipped. The dollar was higher. The euro fell. Oil is up almost $65 a barrel. Sports: Celtics get a win over the Raptors, 132-125. And Capitals and Bruins in action tonight at 7 o'clock. The National Weather Service forecast for today: windy and colder, with a high in the low 30s. For tonight, clear, cold, low of 20 degrees. Sunday and cold tomorrow, high 32. Sunday, mostly sunny, 34. Plenty of sunshine Monday at a high near 40 degrees. We begin a warm-up here on Tuesday. For the boater, waves a couple of feet, gusty northwest winds, and a high tide at 4:19 p.m. Sun rose at 6:12, will set at 5:38. So again, windy and cold today, highs in the low 30s. I'm Joe Catalano with an AM Quincy News Updates for Friday, March 5th.